This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Tokozani Chilenga Butau, of course, previously here on Power Perspective. We talk to her regularly now. Is, of course, my guest next. 0861-987-000 is the number to call. The WhatsApp number 0833037093. And on Twitter at PowerFM987. Our show hashtag is Power Perspective. Well, you saw President Cyril Ramaphosa inaugurated as president of the country. You saw the swearing-in ceremony today. I read you some of the speech. I played you some of what he had to say, of course, at the Union Buildings in Tshwane, Gauteng. Conducted by and overseen by, of course, the Chief Justice Raymond Zondo in the Nelson Mandela Amphitheatre. Seventh administration, it is, of course, of the Democratic South African. And the theme, title of this inauguration, 30 years of democracy. So let's begin to try to understand some of the complexities from various individuals that might be able just to shed light, on some of these particular issues. Tokozani Chilenga Butau, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Denzel. Thank you for having me once again, and good evening to the Power FM listeners.
It's an absolute pleasure, Tokozani. Tokozani, let me ask you. President Cyril Ramaphosa talks within the language of the GNU, and he talks about, you know, them having a sit down and a get together and begin to work out the nitty gritties of this GNU, right? And trying to get in as many political parties that they want and they need. And so the PAC is the latest one to come on board. And later in the show, we'll also bring on the PAC to come and explain why they're getting on board in this particular issue. But then today he references and something called a national dialogue. But then he begins to talk about it a little differently. He says, we're all South Africans, begin to chart the way forward. And he broadens it beyond the politicians or the political parties that are in a GNU or that are beginning to form a GNU. What did you make of a national dialogue? Because, you know, General Bantu Olomisa of the UDM has been calling for a national dialogue for forever and ever, and saying we need to have this as South Africans, a sit down to begin to chart, you know, where we're going and whatever it is. Did you make a differentiation between, you know, the sit down with political parties, in essence, that's different from a national dialogue that he has in his head somewhere, where it seems as though, you know, because he was talking about business and entities and other formations that would all form part of it. So, in essence, what he alluded to was much broader, in my sense, than what we're seeing at the moment in the formation of a GNU.
You're right. I mean, forming a government of national unity is essentially forming a government for the purposes of governance, administration, policy, and making sure that from the National Assembly to, you know, government departments, there is some sort of working agreement and working arrangement between all the parties in the GNU, especially given that the ANC did not get the outright majority that they might have been expecting.
Yeah.
But in terms of a national dialogue, when Ramaphosa first became president, he also used to refer to a social compact, if I remember correctly. And so I think because of the choice of government of national unity, as opposed to an outright coalition, which may have had a limited number of political parties involved, maybe he's bringing in this idea of a national dialogue or a social compact to introduce or to reintroduce the idea of consensus between these different parties. So basically saying, no matter how different the ideologies are or the policy positions of each party are, now that we're forming a government of national unity, we also need to have some sort of consensus or cohesion as a country, which, you know, will speak back to his ideas about a social compact and a national dialogue. And so I think it could be that he's broadening this message so that those who are refusing to sign on to the GNU, you know, still feel welcome in some way. But also those who feel disappointed by the GNU will understand that, look, this is a government of consensus making and not necessarily of breaking relationships between different political parties and therefore South Africans more broadly.
Sure. Let me just stick with the inauguration a little bit and to some of the comments that he would have spoken to. What did you make of his speech? In essence of presidential, in essence of Tumamina, in essence of the aspects you've just spoken to now about, you know, a unified South Africa as he would have engaged before. A lot of people, you know, are critical of him that say, well, you know what, when he started out, he used the same particular language, so no difference here. And for some other reason, I thought maybe, you know, for a moment, I didn't see maybe the politician in him. I maybe saw a statesman in him, and how he can differentiate between his party and the concerns of a country, in essence. What did you make of his speech, firstly, before we even get on to how he's going to navigate, if that is anyway, you know, true? How is he going to navigate the political party aspect towards this you know, interests of the country first?
Yes, I think he had to display a level of political maturity above his political party. And I think that was important because we, you know, leading up to the elections, there were the polls around, you know, the ANC and whether or not they would get a majority. There was a lot of politicking by different political parties, a lot of posturing. And I think he has chosen this approach of political maturity or statesmanship above, you know, his political home because of the sensitive situation that we're in. I mean, up until yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we heard political parties who were not happy with the GNU expressing that and the reasons for that. And so it wouldn't have been good for him to give a speech that now is assertive of the interests of the party above the interests of the country. And I think to a certain extent, a lot of South Africans, whether or not they are ANC members, have wanted to see that. Even when he came in the first time as president, Tumamina was a rallying call to all South Africans, right? And he essentially was elected within his own party because he was able to provide that sense of leadership across, you know, the different sectors that we see in South African society. So I think he's consistent in that regard, but I think it'll serve South Africa better this time around because of the government of national unity compared to when he first came in and people thought, well, he's trying to temper you know, the different factions within the ANC and unite the factions. Whereas now it appears that he's trying to unite the country more broadly because of the sensitivity of the GNU.
Then what do we make of his speech, Tokozani? What do we make of, and I'll just give you a couple of statements that he would have made. a country that belongs to all who live in it. And that's the reference to the Freedom Charter. He says, mm-hmm. by our deeds, we shall heal the divisions of the past. We shall build a united, free, just, equal, and prosperous nation. The will of the people of this country, you know, will be done. As leadership, we have a sacred duty to unite the people of South Africa, non-racial, non-sexist, mm-hmm. you know, prosperous society in an inclusive economy. And then he says, a democratic renewal, no one is left behind. So there's this unified, you know, speech about where we need to go to a common sort of this common purpose, common program. And in essence, he also then goes on to say a moment of profound significance, a new era. What do we make of all of that particular stance and scripting? Or do we just put it to, you know, he has a really, really, you know, creative speechwriter. And we give credit to the speechwriter who put some really, really good, you know, phrases together and strung them along. Or do we put some significance to it? Because, you know, when exactly does the political party draw him back in and say, you've been out there, you've nicely now spoken and you've said what you need to say to the country. Now it's business as usual. We have to look at what's important, and, you know, number one is important, which is the ANC, and our well-being is important, which is the ANC. We're not doing too well at the moment, and so we begin to navigate the interests of the ANC again, rather than this lovely speech that has been orated and crafted and put together by a speechwriter of some sorts. What do we make then of all this commentary that I've just read to you then? In essence of the possibility of the political party drawing him back into the center of the political space and saying, just remember that, you know, you're a deployee of the ANC whose interests are over and above maybe that of the country, because we need to continually keep governing. So us first and then that second. What do you make of all the lovely scripting, or do you give it, or do you think there's some seriousness that you know he's going to be engaging in the next 5 years relating to all of that?
Mm-mm. I mean, firstly, a nod to the speechwriter. I mean, all speechwriters, in my limited experience as a politically conscious South African, seem to, you know, write wonderful speeches, and then we only wait to see down the line how those speeches pan out. But I think he was speaking to two groups, or sending a subtle message to two groups. The first is those who are aggrieved by this GNU between the ANC and the DA. You know, these two parties that for a very long time, policy-wise, have been diametrically opposed. And in the lead up to this agreement, we heard what, for instance, trade unions said and other political parties said about this, you know, union between the ANC and the DA primarily. And so I think he's trying to send a subtle message to say, look, our main partner in the GNU may not be an ideal partner for some of the electorate, for some of our, you know, traditional partners. But at the end of the day, we have to focus on the democratic values that we have. But I think that's partly what he was trying to address there. And then I think the second group that he was trying to address in that speech and through, you know, that language is anyone who still feels that they have been left out of the GNU. Because as I said earlier, some parties have still clearly said that, you know what, we would have preferred a different formation of the GNU. We're not going to sign onto it. We will only sign onto it if we take, you know, or we get certain ministerial positions, etc. And I think it's important to tread carefully in this situation. Remember, Denzel, we've had a GNU before as a country, and that was also a sensitive time in the sense that we were transitioning into democracy and needed as many partners in the GNU as possible to allow a smooth transition. And even though we may not be in such a precarious position when it comes to democracy, definitely when it comes to policy, and those who feel aggrieved by the failures of the ANC, who feel let down by the GNU, all sorts of issues that come up for different people and in our society, you know, he has to send that message in some sort of way to cool tempers and say, I hear and I understand, but for now, let's move forward in this way that allows all of us to cooperate. Mm. Now, in terms of, I hope I can move to your next point about when will the party bring him in? Mm. You know, I think we're going to start seeing that when we see which political parties get which ministerial positions, how cabinet will be constituted, and how policy will be worked out going forward. Because then that's when the ANC will be able to exercise that power or that authority over the president as a member of the ANC and say, you know, maybe this is, we don't agree with this, or we do agree with this, or we want to continue down this path, or we disagree with some of the partners in the GNU. And I think we're definitely moving from a place where everyone was broadly concerned in 1994 about becoming a democracy and that being the common goal, to a point now where we're asking tough questions about governance and how democracy will manifest through governance. And that is where we will start to see the ANC exercising its centralizing power over the president again. So it seems like now he's going slowly, and yes, the consensus building and the speeches and let's all work together. But give us a few months and let's see how governance plays out. And that's when we will see not only the ANC, but other parties within the GNU exercising their muscle over tough decisions.
Sure. Do you have an opinion on what the... I want to get to a question around policy just now. Do you have an opinion of where the alliance partners are in all of this, Thokozani? I spoke to Pop Crew yesterday. The unions not very happy with what's going on. The SACP alluding to the fact that they are being left out of things. COSATU is having a mammoth meeting over the next couple of days, and they will then make their voice heard as well. Mm-hmm. And so how do you think that particular space is going to be engaged? Because there's very little they can do, in a sense of rescuing a rather precarious scenario for the ANC at the moment, where in essence it needs the DA's, considerable, percentage to get over certain hurdles. So what do you make of the alliance partners and just what happens down the road, maybe if you could even forecast anything?
I think the alliance partners are in a very precarious situation or position. Can you still hear me? Hello?
Hi, Thokozani. Thokozani, you vanished there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Thokozani.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Perfect. I think the alliance partners are in a very precarious position right now, because we all understood alliance partners to back the ANC, not only historically, but in terms of pushing for certain policy points, especially for workers that are part of trade unions. Mm. But alliance partners didn't really form a political party that was an electorate, right? Mm, they were part of the ANC in terms of being ANC voters, and then at a broader level, providing support or opposition to ANC policies.
Mm.
And now they are in a very precarious position because their lack of influence over the GNU and how the GNU has played out so far shows that, number one, the ANC could have done anything that it wanted to betray this alliance much earlier, right? Because the part of the alliance that will vote for the ANC originally or, you know, historically could have just been displaced for other motives, right? And for other political agendas. But secondly, to not regard, at least publicly, what the alliance has expressed about this GNU, I think means that for now the alliance partners are in a precarious position, but it might offer them an opportunity to align with other political parties apart from the ANC and try to chart a way forward in future that does align with their interests, right?
Sure.
So if there is a political party, which we know there is, I just don't want to name names in case my prediction is wrong. But if there is a political party that aligns strongly with worker interests and especially how those interests are protected in a particular type of economy, right, then why wouldn't the alliance partners begin to break away with their alliance from with the ANC and form some sort of alliance with such political parties that more strongly align with their view, right? And in so doing, then move that electorate from being one that traditionally votes for the ANC to, you know, now voting for other political parties. So I think it might offer them an opportunity, and it might also offer certain aggrieved political parties an opportunity to say, look, the way things have played out over the past 30 years, it's clear that at this juncture, we probably align more with you as trade unions, as workers, and maybe we can come to some sort of discussion, agreement in policies. And that would change, yet again, the nature of our politics. So I don't see it as a precarious position that will last very long. It could be that they find new opportunities, or it could be that if the ANC keeps the door open for them, then we could start to see, you know, a very shaky GNU.
Let me play you something, Tokozani. Let me play you something, and then I have a particular word I want to lean on in this particular clip. It's John Steenhuisen, who was sort of doorstepped at the inauguration today, and he said this.
Well, it would obviously be about setting up the policy, Lakota, because that's going to be key. It's very important that we do meld the policies together, that we do have a coherent plan for government over the next 5 years, and that we start getting working on it. There's no time to waste. There's 30 million people trapped in poverty in the country. There's 42% of people unemployed. We've got to do something about it. We've got to do it now, because if the centre doesn't get it right, then it's going to create an open road for the radical anti-constitutionalists to grow and take power, and I think that would set the country back by a generation.
So, Tokozani, that's John Steenhuisen. And the question, more or less, put to him was, you know, one of the first things when you get out of this GNU and you're in cabinet and you're now part of government, what would you do? And he talks about a policy, Lekhotla. He doesn't talk about, yes, we're going to take up our positions in government and we're going to engage those portfolios to the best of our abilities where we then govern in those particular portfolios. He's saying we need, with, of course, the ruling party, a policy, Lekhotla, whereby we need to begin to talk about policy plans and changes to particular policy. And we understand what the ANC's policies are and the ideology that follows and leans on all of that. And where the DA, and where they differ in policy arrangements and ideology. And he's pretty much wanting to get into the policy conversations pretty fast. Is that as surprising maybe, or did you think that it would come later, or, you know, are you surprised by John that he's already in there, or is it something that was to be expected? You know, I thought, wow, okay, you know, maybe get settled in the portfolios that you first are going to be, you know, given and settle in and become part of the government. And first step, he says, is let's start and begin to change policy.
I think this is a strategic and an interesting move by John Steenhuisen. I mean, firstly, and I do say this jokingly, have we ever heard anyone in the DA use the terminology Lekgotla? It's quite a turn, you know, in the sense that they're using the ANC terminology that we know. You know, this is the forum where they meet to have serious discussions. And so even Steenhuisen is trying to get involved in this consensus making to say, we'll meet you on your terms in this Lekgotla where we will then make policy decisions. But I think it's strategic in the sense that if the DA or any other political party in the GNU waits to settle into ministerial positions, they might find that they don't have the oversight or the authority over policies deeper in government departments. So remember, we have a minister and a ministry that has the political oversight over a portfolio. Then we have the government departments, which usually have a head of department, of course, responding to political objectives, responding to economic, social objectives. But it could be that there are times where departments can work in a way that doesn't respond to political objectives if you have, you know, ministers that are opposition ministers or ministers who are unfamiliar with portfolios and have to, you know, implement certain decisions through departments. And so instead of waiting to settle into a position where you now have to try figure out how do we change policies, it's actually a strategic move to say, before we take up those ministerial positions, let's agree on how these portfolios or how certain you know, aspects of our economy, our society are going to be run, so that when we get into those positions, we then have the range that we might need to exercise certain decisions.
Those ranges, Tokozani, differ massively. For example, on land.
They do.
On land is an issue. On black economic empowerment is an issue. On minimum wage, it's an issue. It's just, you know, two sides of a coin. Did anybody envisage that the DA would jump in with both feet to the extent that they are, whereby the ANC is and might find itself with policies that it has where, you know, black empowerment and on land and other issues where, you know, community safety is concerned, where the DA has a free market approach and the DA wanting to begin to tinker with very, very strategic policy that's already out there?
You know, I think there are people within the DA and generally who saw this coming. If you remember, prior to these elections last year, the DA did say that if the ANC falls below 50% and a coalition is to be formed, the only person in the ANC who they are willing to work with is Ramaphosa. They did not entertain the idea of any other leadership of the ANC with whom they would be willing to work. And they did that probably on the assumption that Ramaphosa would be more malleable to certain policy decisions than other leaders of the ANC. So in terms of did anyone envision this, I think yes. I think that the polling indicated to a lot of opposition parties that, you know, the ANC would have to be open to working with anyone if it falls below 50%. Mm. What the DA managed to do is say very early on that if that moment comes, this is the only person that we're willing to work with. Mm. In the same way that I think only one or two other parties said, this is someone who we wouldn't be able to work with. And the outcomes of the GNU have shown that. Mm. And so there must be something in Ramaphosa's leadership that they see that they would be able to work with and work through on certain policy matters. I don't know whether certain policies will be changed as drastically as we expect. Mm. That none of us can predict. We don't even know whether this time next year the GNU will still be standing. Mm. What we do know is that as many parties as possible that have signed up for the GNU are trying to make it as watertight as possible for the party's interests and for the people who voted for them. Mm. They're trying to get that watertight agreement so that they can turn around and say, but you promised us this, or we agreed on this, and you cannot, go back on this agreement. Mm. So it's partly strategic. It's also interesting, but they have to make sure that before anyone gets off the starting block, there is some sort of agreement on policies. Mm. How they will get to that agreement, well, we'll see after the Lekgotla if it happens. Mm.
Just how serious a position, Tokozani, would you like to share with us is the ANC in? You know, how deep is the pit that they have found themselves in essence, in this particular scenario? Because we're talking about, you know, because the ANC with bravado will come and say, yes, you know, we are inviting people to the GNU and we are doing this. And remember, we are still the biggest party. And remember, and all of that particular language you will find from Fikile Mbalula and some other ANC officials in instances. And mixed within that is the realization that we have to work with other political parties and the GNU, and it's a good thing for South Africa and we need to move forward, and it's what South Africans want and it's how South Africans voted, and so this is the route we're taking. But in a sense, they pretty much in a deep hole. Let me put it to you this way. How tight is the DA squeezing with both hands on a strategic element of the ANC?
You know, it's a tough one because I actually don't view the ANC's position as one of bravado.
Okay.
In the past, we have seen campaigns that are outright bravado by the ANC. They have had a good story to tell campaign. They had the Asinabalo, meaning we don't have fear campaign, we're not afraid. And yet, this campaign for general elections was literally, this is a South African story. Not an ANC story, but a South African story. And so...
Tokozani?
Sorry, I lost you there. Can you hear
No,
me
I, can, I can hear you.
Okay. And so now when the ANC is responding publicly to say, we are inviting parties, I think it's not a show of bravado. It's actually, I don't think it's quite humility, but I think it's saying that we understand that we're in a corner. We actually don't want to fight. Mm. Is the DA squeezing? Definitely. Mm. Definitely. They're the biggest opposition party in this country. And so any opportunity that they have to seize power in order to make changes that they think South Africa should be making, they're going to take that opportunity, right? So at every turn, of course, wherever they can, they are going to squeeze. But that doesn't mean that the ANC is completely helpless or that the DA is completely overpowering. They both understand the position that they're in. The ANC understands that it is in this position because voters spoke and said, we are unhappy with how things have been run until this point, right? Partly, some of those voters were unhappy with internal factionalism. Partly, voters completely outside the ANC saying that we appreciate the liberation movement, as it is not, you know, bringing some of the things that we expected. On the other hand, the DA knows that it's an opposition that may not get this opportunity again, okay, or maybe not in this sort of formation, and therefore this is the opportunity that it has to make changes that it sees fit for its voters and, as they claim, for South Africans generally. But in terms of the squeezing, I don't think we should have this idea that they are overpowering the ANC. Remember, within the GNU, there are also, I think, five other parties, if I'm not mistaken.
And growing,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so everyone at some point will find themselves, as they do in the game of politics, treading carefully on some issues, retreating on other issues, and advancing on some issues. I think as voters and as South Africans generally, we also need to reorient our thinking, you know, around what democracy looks like. We may have or may not have voted for the ANC for different reasons as individuals, but we shouldn't be so afraid of the future that we say, well, you know, at least the ANC this, or now the DA that, or the IFP this. This is the critical moment where we have to keep whoever we voted for accountable to say, yes, I might disagree and you retreated on one issue, but on another issue, I expect you to advance. And I think we have that power more so than in previous years, because we had the regional ballot where we voted directly for parties within the National Assembly. And so we shouldn't just leave politics at this critical moment to representatives, but hold whoever we voted for accountable to say, this was not what I was promised as a voter. And even if I compromise on some things, on other things, you have to keep advancing, you know, our cause as a part of the electorate, right?
Sure.
And sometimes that is hard work, because the same way politicians have their 9-to-5 as ministers, we have, you know, so many things that are taking up our time daily. But we have to keep on political parties and say, don't let this collapse because of egos. But on the other hand, don't sacrifice everything just to stay in this agreement. Also, thinking beyond ourselves. You and I might be okay, but what about those who are unemployed and have been unemployed for a very long time? What will the next 5 years look like for them, for instance, right?
Gotcha.
So everyone, political parties, the electorate, everyone is going to have to accept concessions here, tread carefully there, advance in other areas. But we cannot afford for things to just fall apart because of egos.
Thokozani Chilenga Butau, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thokozani Chilenga Butau, of course, is Wits Political Science Lecturer.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.